Hello, this is Roger Schaus, and this is Jumpstart Rewind. This is a branch of our Heaven Bound podcast. Jumpstart number 1443, first written September 30th, 2015. Philippians 2, verse 12. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work out your salvation are the words of the beloved apostle. Salvation must be lived. There are choices. There are decisions we must make. Some bring us closer to the cross. Some take us away from the cross. Some actions are just what others want us to do. Sometimes they may want us to do things more than we want to. There's a personal responsibility to our faith and journey with Christ. We can't hang our hat completely on the church. We can't excuse our lackluster faith because of others. Dead churches, lifeless sermons, and indifferent brethren may surround us, but still we can have a faith that is alive, active, and doing things for the kingdom. Work out your salvation. One of the things that troubles me often is when you want to fix things, but you can't. You see what's going to happen, but folks involved do not see it. Or worse, they don't seem to care. This is true of families. This is true of congregations. This is true of individuals. You see some drifting. You want to be that spiritual spark plug that gets them going. Suggestions are often given, but they fall flat on the floor. You give directions that is ignored. And there they go off to that dead faith, which in time will kill their soul. You see it coming. You want to help, but they don't want the help. This is one of the most frustrating things that shepherds face. They talk to me about that all the time. What can we do to get folks more diligent, they say. We can't light a fire under some families. Some will change the number of services, hoping that would help, but it doesn't. Some try to have some special studies, thinking that the topic would be of interest to them, but it's not. They drift along, weak, shallow, with only their big toe in the water of faith. When temptation knocks, they don't know what to do other than answer the door. When stormy nights come, they doubt, question, and are nowhere to be found. Paul told the Thessalonians to help the weak. We are limited in what we can do. One of the saddest things is realizing that we can't fix the weak. There must be something within them that will cause their faith to grow. They must, as our verse says today, work out their salvation. No one can do that for them. I've had so many parents, with tears coming down their eyes, tell me the sad story of their child who once was a Christian, but today is simply not interested at all. It's easy to point fingers. It's easy to be a backseat driver. What's hard is fixing what you cannot fix. Some will blame the church. Some blame the times. Some will point out that there are too few kids the same age in a congregation. Some will say the preaching was too hard. It was either this or that, but deep down inside, each person knows that the real reason is the person no longer is interested. They don't care about their salvation. They've moved on. They have outgrown God. They don't have time nor interest in those kind of things. That's the killer, wanting to fix what can't be fixed. I'm asked that often about a congregation. A few bright spots are holding on. The leadership no longer leads. The church is adrift, and no one seems to notice or care. What can we do, I'm asked. I see things, and I have suggestions. I believe it could be turned around, but like our passage, there are those who are not working out their own salvation. They're too busy with secular work. They put the kingdom on the back burner. They have flipped on the autopilot, and things are just as well as they can be for them. Can you help us is the plea. It breaks my heart. I want to help them. My DNA is to fix things. I'm an idea guy. I have suggestions. But powers to be do not want to listen. They feel that things are just fine. It's hard not being able to fix what needs to be fixed. But in all this, I've learned that it's much easier to see what the other guy needs to be doing than what it is to see yourself. I expect there are those who look at me and would wonder, why can't we fix Mr. Roger? They probably would give me the positive help, but do I see it? Do I open the door for such conversations? Help can be offered, but help is only good if a person wants to be helped. Too often the person waits until their boat is about to go over the waterfalls before they cry for help. Then it's often too late to save the marriage, too late to save a person from getting fired, going to jail, or losing the house. Our pride keeps us from asking for help. Asking for help is too often seen as a sign of weakness. We would rather fall than ask for help. And that very thing is what happens. Work out your salvation. What's it going to take for you to get stronger? What's it going to take for you to walk closer to the Lord? What's it going to take for you to shine and excel with Jesus? Work it out. Bring it out. Be diligent. Get about it. Just simply do it. You probably won't be able to fix others, but you can pray for them. You can be for them. You can offer help. You can give suggestions. But what you can do is fix yourself. This is why this passage talks about fixing your own or working out your own salvation. Be strong. Be immovable. Act like men. These are great words for a heart that is in tune with the Lord. And we want to add, can we help you? Thank you for listening.